This beginning of this little report, after supper, was Faye and Mamu. Part of it due last night, this Wednesday night, the 17th of February, 1971. Wednesday night, 17th of February, 1971. And this is beginning of that little of a little report after supper.
I think they had too much water in them. I can't tell in the fresh air.
Mm-hmm. All that time, we had the old organization. I thought my faculties were just my plate and just leave it there. I thought I was just falling apart. But I can see now it was just structured so much. You just had no leeway, and there was just no chance to do anything. And he said that was the way they figured it. That Wise had just had that great gift, you see, for all that, and he lit into Wise. He just played one fellow against another and embarrassed people publicly and put them in a pinch, and I said he was just as mean as he could be, and away we went. I said to him, I had been working out here and had a little experience like Clarence Day and Eric Hoffer on the television. And I found out how to get a good many things out. And while this was all fresh in their minds, and they still felt some of these pressures, it'd be a nice thing to talk a little bit. They cuss and still wouldn't matter. Or, you know, be moderate. Give cases, that's better than the statements. And he didn't show any signs of taking me up on it. But I mentioned that to Philip the other day. And he didn't show any signs of taking me up on it. And I thought to myself, well, I'll just invite him out here and let him hear some of the reporting. Now, you see, Jim Hodges was one of the first people that helped me out when he came here. I had some students, you know, who who were capable of reporting, you know, the lady from Madison. And he's the one that she talked to. Mm-hmm. And he passed right on. So, you see, he and Alton have, he's worked along and helped me out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, anyhow, that was really nice. And it's a curious thing. The academic life doesn't offer much of interest. You see, it's too intellectualized. And it doesn't mean very much. It's just not really, really interesting. And I don't think very much is known about it. No books written on it. Nobody in that writes memoirs, you see. Mm-hmm. The public life, congressmen,
right.
People like that do. You'd think people this do it. They never do.
No.
Well, yesterday I got into it. I thought I was saving time and trouble and money on that tractor tire. See, on that festival, I thought I'd lucking out on that. You see, I got it Sunday when they were all here and Cookie hauled it in, and I thought he'd haul it out, but he didn't. Now, I got into it again. I it was an experience. I wasn't looking for experience.
No.
Monday, he had taken it by, but he wasn't sure they'd have it ready. I said, it wasn't any use to hurry him. I didn't need it. So we had some pretty good talk. And then Tuesday, I needed it. That's it. And Cookie didn't have it, and he didn't show any signs of getting it. And he said last night he had been there until 8 o'clock on Monday night. So I said, Cookie, it looks to me like I'm going to leave my Chrysler here with you and take your pickup. And certainly I can't see any use of you making a special trip down there to pick up that old tractor tire when I can go right by there.
Uh-oh.
I went along with him, you see. Well, Franklin went around there to crank it up, and I looked at it, and the lighter didn't work. I said, Cookie, let me go get some lighter and get you to stick it in there. I need it. And I had my little fitting, you know,
mm-hmm.
there in my hand. Oh, he said, let me see. And he went around back there and found a brand new lighter. And Frank put it in. Now, that was one of his magic tricks, you see.
Yeah.
He won't forget that. He'll remind me of that. Before I left, I said to him, Franklin, now, is there anything I need to know about this? No. And then he thought again and said, well, if the gear clutch happens to get stuck, he raised the, I told you about that, he raised the hood and showed me what to push. Well, I just got around the corner and she stopped. Right there, at the traffic light. I had it in high gear and I couldn't get it out. So I could have got out, you know, right there and done it, but I didn't. I just, you know how you can do it, you can race the motor. Got over that side. Got it out, and it stuck again before I got started. So I just left it in a second. Now, that tractor tire was right there. I saw it at Firestone. That's at the corner, see, right across from the bank where you do your banking. It's an old place. They still hold forth there. It's Firestone, and well, they have scooters and other things there, as well as tires, not just a tire place, you know. I had the car right there, ready for him to put it in, and the man rolled it, and I could see that it was too light, and he says, "You don't have any water out where you are, you can't get water in." I said, "I've got no way to get water in." So he let the air out, took it around there where he put water in. He motioned to me how to get back there, and I backed up. Now, what he was wanting to do, he didn't want to lift that wheel with water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a half a dozen men around there. There's two colored men. All they had to do was lift. There's a pickup truck. They could have leaned it against the back of the truck. And no trouble to pick it up with water in it and scoot it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They'll spend all amount of time to get it running. And I'll tell you what they did. I backed over there, and they were going to just leave it on the truck and put the water in. They wouldn't reach. There was a wrecked car, and the hose wouldn't reach around that wrecked car, and they couldn't move the car.
Okay.
So he finally just dropped the tire, the wheel off, got it on there where he could reach it, and then it wouldn't fit because my tire has that weight in the center. It's not a weight, it's something else, but anyhow, I couldn't get to it. So he attached it, and it's water, more water was squirting out than squirting in. Now, he still had to load it, you see. He pushed it over there where there's one of those, what do you call it, the things that pick the cars up?
Okay.
Way over there. There was lifts, hydraulic lifts. He pushed it, took it way over there, rolled it way over there. And those things are rather hard to roll if they get a little bit off center. They'll fall over, you can't catch them. Is on the same. And he put that on there and stood on there and held it up. And the other colored fella pressed the button and lifted him up, and he told me to back under it. I backed right under it. And he rolled it off on the car, and everything was all right. Except the man said, Mr. Cook said, I would pay for it. Well, I asked Mr. Cook before I left, and he says, you needn't bother. He says, but he said Mr. Cook had said that I would. So I paid for it. And left it in the second gear and came on home. Well, it was a nice ride. The horn didn't work. And down on the panel, you couldn't tell to get no gas gauge, no mileage, no speed, you know. And the turn signal didn't work. So hold your hand out. And I thought to myself, there are some disadvantages in being poor. If a man has to drive a truck like that and pay $150 for it. Of course, you get used to it. You get used to a wooden leg. You get used to all those contraptions, you see. You just adapt. Where you don't need a gas gauge or a water gauge or a heat gauge or anything. All horn. You're adapted. Well, I went by today after I was at, just before I went, came home. And Cookie didn't see anybody in the garage there. And that Cookie sat in my old red Chrysler. And it was just running just like it was brand new. See, when I was, it got so, it shook so, that little radio antenna that stood up there, you could just see it shake, it vibrate. That's how bad it shook. Mm-hmm. Well, the man over here said it was he was going to try anything. And Cookie thought it was the things down there and around the pistons, you know, that they had stuck. Well, sir, he had taken all those wire that go to the spark plugs, whatever you call them, off, and put brand new ones up there. And the others were just laying down there on the ground, you see. It's a great pleasure. Just sew things down. Don't have to look for a box or throw them in. I said, Cookie, that's amazing. You put in the two or three. Yes, he said, but they were second hand. These are brand new. So that sort of lifted my spirits. You know, I said, it's an amazing thing. A fella gets used to an old car like this with all this automatic steering and all, power steering, you know. And that little pickup truck, that motor is just like music. It runs so sweet.
Yeah.
And I said, now the gauge works on it. And you know, the time I got home, I was used to that. I didn't want any gauges. Well, I saved $30. $30 on that tire. I saved $30 on that tire. But it was worth it. I would have practically given $30 to have it delivered.
Drive that truck home.
It took me Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to get it.
Uh-huh.
And then I had finally to go get it. So I'm telling you, what I get out of Cookie, I pay for it in blood and sweat.
Oh, me. It's fun, though, to do it. It is. It's fun to do it. It's fun to get to see how the Cookie works. I'm having that Chrysler. working smooth today. It just came in right handy. Yeah. Cookie's still working on it. He's still working on it. He's still.
I know of other symptoms. It depends on. He gets interested anyway.
I'll tell you, I think those herons are the easiest people to talk to I ever talked with. I don't know whether it's because we had something in common with animals or not. But I walked up there to the porch. She was feeding two puppies. She said, "Hello." She said, "Aren't these cute?" Just like she expected me to come. They were two little old woolly puppies, and they were cute. They had just big enough to have their eyes open and run around. And we stood there. She was on the porch, and I stood there on the porch, and she's feeding them. She's talking to them. And we didn't seem to have it to say anything to each other. Just watch the puppies. Quietly. And pretty soon she got up and came down the steps and came out in the yard. She said, "I like little animals. I guess it's because I know about little animals. I guess that's all I do know about it." I laughed, and you know, I said, "Well, I don't know anything about animals, but I like them." And she said, and then I said, "I'm Faye Miles. I came over here with Guy not long ago." And she just went right on as if she expected me. I didn't say anything. Nothing was said about the note that was left. She said, "She has a merry look. A merry look, and just friendly, and her voice is low, and good quality." I know she said, "Would you like to see my rabbits?" She said, "I've just cleaned the pen," and she just moved sort of easily over toward the rabbit hut, and we looked at the rabbits. She didn't comment on them. But they were eating. And I said, "Looks like a lot of eating going on around here." She said, "You hadn't ought to have any animals that you can't feed." I said, "Well, I feel that way too." And we looked at the other rabbits. And she said, she turned and looked at me and she said, "He's out there. Working on a fence, he knows about all the animals." And then she called in it was strong. I wish I could think just how the voice was, because it was, you commented on the how nice her voice was. And she called, "Papa," just like that. And I looked across that pen, a little pasture back there, and Jack was working on a post. And I said to her, "Well, not to bother," because he looked like he's busy. And she didn't make any excuses at all, but she just moved right on toward the gate, and Jack started walking toward us. And the nicest thing about it was, he spoke to every pig along the way. And he had a little stick in his hand. He stooped, and there was a sow in the pen where he was working in the lot, and he patted the sow on the head first, called her by name. Too far away to hear, but I could see him patting her, calling her by name. And then he had a little stick, and so he scratched her back. He walked on slowly over toward the gate, and she came with him, like a puppy. He came up to the gate, said, "She's going to have a litter pretty soon." And I said, how good she looked. He said, "Yes. She hadn't even eaten all of her feed that he'd given her that morning." But he wasn't going to feed her again until after dark. Then he stood there by the gate a minute. And he said, he worked all the time. He's working up yonder. And when he worked up yonder, then he'd come home and he'd just switch from working up yonder to working here. It's always something to do and never enough time to do it. And I think I said, well, with both of you away and all these animals, it's you do have a lot to do. Oh, he says, she don't go away. Too much here to do. She stays here all the time. And then she said, no, I have more to do than I can do all day long right here. There's always something interesting going on, she said. And Jack said, he just didn't have to work up yonder, he'd do a lot better. I said, sure is bad, a man has to make a living somewhere else. Yep, he said, because he needed to plow up that field out there. And he started unwinding this, there's about four wires on there. I was fascinated, you know, he's tall. I never had seen him before, but I remembered. And I liked to look at him. He's gentle and tall and easy talking. And he started doing those four wires on that gate. And he had them almost undone. And he said, if you've got time, come on in. And he opened the gate just enough for me to come in. And she followed. And this big sow walked right along beside us. He talking to her all the time, not to me. And we walked on over to the cross, across the lot to the fence. And he put his hand over the fence. I can see it now. It's a slender, ascetic hand, almost long. Fine hand. Put his hand over the fence down the other side, and from under this house, this pen, came these five little pigs. They were the prettiest things I ever saw. They were just as fat as they could be. And he didn't say, now, ain't they pretty? Our things. He didn't have to say it. He put his hand right down there, and they came up. I've never seen, you know, his eyes were just sparkling, and she was just as proud as he was. And we stood there and looked at those pigs, and they stayed right up close to his hand. And then the mother came up and lay down right at his feet, and pigs started getting their supper. Just as if Jack had just planned it that way. All five of them. It was the cutest thing. And she said, one of them said, they're just a day under a month old. Mm-hmm. Just a day under a month. And she gave the date, exactly the date. I had a feeling she might could have given the minute. And he said the ones in the next pen were 3 months old, and they were Pats. That's the sow he'd been petting. That's her pig, her babies over there. And they were 3 months old to the day. I always know the figures. I always know the date. And I said how beautiful they were. He said it took all the time taking care of them pigs. But I said, I wish you'd tell us how to take care of our cows. He said, I sure don't have any time today. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to push it. Everything was so easy. I said, well, I can see you're busy. I know it takes a lot of time to do these things. Guy says that too. We could sure use some advice sometime. He said, well, when I have a little time, I'd like to come over and see what you got. And I said, well, I'd sure like to. He said, when I come home, just as soon as I get here, she has my victuals ready. Forgot this. And she said, we had cracklin' bread and beans tonight. And he repeated, he said, cracklin' bread and beans. And I said, nothing I like better than cracklin' bread. And I had a sort of a feeling, that's the truth, I feel that way. Well, he picked up his hammer. He'd shown me, you know, those, what he had shown me. He picked up his hammer, and he walked off down toward that post again. And she said, Papa, I'll close the gate. And we came back through the gate. That was the most elegant dismissal I'd ever had.
I got to get the cow now.
That's around 600, 610, and that's this little reporting that we did at supper this Wednesday, the 17th of February, 1971. That's a little reporting we did after supper, some of it that we didn't do last night with Mamu, this Wednesday, the 17th of February, 1971.